Presented by T-Mobile, the official wireless partner of Odyssey Sports. With an awesome network and great savings, there's never been a better time to join T-Mobile. Visit your neighborhood store to make the switch today.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can spend another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. With available H-Track all-wheel drive and three-row seating, my whole family can head deep into the wild. Conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
Sports Radio 610 presents Payne and Pendergast, presented by Allied Home Security.
Hey, what's happening, everybody? Happy Friday to all of you. It is a football Friday here on Sports Radio 610. However, ALCS Game 1 is going to get a lot of attention today. Andy Gresh from our sister station, WEEI, is going to join us at 7:30 today to give the Boston perspective on things. And Seth, I guess the big news yesterday is that I guess technically from an Astros standpoint, the organization is saying they're still seeking second opinions on Lance McCullers, but John Heyman of MLB Network is saying it looks like Lance McCullers is at least going to be out for the ALCS. So I don't
right.
think, not a massive surprise based on the direction the winds were blowing yesterday. It felt like it was a more pessimistic mood in the air yesterday in the last couple days about Lance than optimistic. So by Thursday, I was mentally in the place where I'm going, okay, what's the plan B? Let's dump all the pitchers out on the table like they did in Apollo 13 when they had to get the carbon monoxide out of the cockpit. They're like, okay, here's all the things that they have up there with them. Now we've got to concoct some sort of device to get the carbon monoxide out of the cockpit. Now for what I'm assuming is game four, we're going to have to concoct some sort of pitching device out of all the things that are out of all the pieces and scraps that are left over outside of Urquidy, Garcia, and Framber Valdez.
One of those guys, can you imagine if one of those guys had gas at the time, too? Like, every time he had gas, it would have, I think everybody would have freaked out. Like,
yeah.
What the hell is that? That's just me. Those dehydrated chili beans they packed for us.
It's a large lunch, yeah.
So, yeah, look, I feel, and one of our listeners agreed with me on this yesterday, I feel irrationally and unjustifiably cocky about the Astros' ability to patch together all of their pitchers into some semblance of an ace in Game 3. And look, Odorizzi's likely going to be active in this series. You have Christian Javier, who's not stretched out, but obviously can give you a few good innings. You have Zach Greinke, same thing. He's not stretched out. He's not going to be a starter, but he could be an opener. And if it comes down to a game seven, then it's really going to suck to have not had Lance McCullers. But it'll be on the Astros' bats then to not get to a game seven. It'll be up to Kyle Tucker to somehow be a hero at some point. It'll be up to Yuli to come out of whatever his playoff funk is right now. And I just feel a little bit too cocky about it, especially because Josh Reddick's going to be throwing out the first pitch.
Yeah, no, Josh Reddick is going to. We'll get to that in just a second for sure. So as far as the Astros and where they stand on the Lance McCullers stuff, James Click at the Astros workout yesterday met with some of the media. Here was James Click, Astros general manager, on where the team is with Lance right now.
He's still being examined. We have until 10 o'clock tomorrow to set the roster, so we're just going to keep looking at him, see how he is over the next 20 hours or so. But obviously, anytime you got a pitcher coming out with a forearm anything, you want to take your precautions and just make sure you know exactly what's going on. So he did go for an MRI, just precautionary, just to make sure everything's okay in there. So we're waiting for those images to be reviewed and get an examination on him, but we'll see where that goes.
So you can't tell us whether he's going to be available or not right now?
Correct. We're still having him he's still being examined, and so until the examination is done, we're not going to have an answer to that one.
Okay, so again, the reports from John Heyman are that likely Lance McCullers is out for the ALCS. We'll see about the World Series. I guess the other bit of Heyman news that he put out there yesterday, Seth, that is good news, something I was kind of concerned about was no structural damage, it sounds like. So it doesn't sound like whatever this is with Lance, it's nothing that's going to torpedo next season for him or anything like that.
It's interesting, because there's a little bit of symmetry here with the situation the Red Sox have which is they have Chris Sale, who's going to be starting in game one, which is a bit of a surprise because Eovaldi's their best pitcher. But they're going to start Chris Sale, who's coming off of Tommy John surgery and has fallen apart mechanically as of late.
Yeah.
They're going to just go ahead and roll him out there in game one. And I think that it just kind of speaks to how nothing is simple or easy necessarily when a pitcher's coming off of Tommy John. And for Lance, it's gone about as well as it possibly could. But when Lance McCullers coming off of Tommy John has forearm tightness, I think it turns into a, hey, I don't care what the MRI shows, we got to be super careful with this guy. And we'll just go ahead and take it easy and get through this series with our guys. We already had six starting pitchers plus a Javier. Let's see what we can do. Likewise with Sal, what the Red Sox are doing is they're saying, all right, we're going to roll him out here. And if he sucks, then all of our relievers are healthy and fresh because we had this little layoff, and we'll make it into a reliever. We'll make it into a bullpen start. But maybe Chris Sale will do really well, and he'll go 5-6 innings for us, and then we'll be off to the races. But it's a dicey situation for pitching for both sides in this respect.
Yeah, it is. And by the way, Sale got shellacked against Tampa Bay in his one start. He gave up 5 earned runs in one inning.
The Astros, okay, somebody fact check me on this, but all I have is fond memories in recent history of Astros versus Chris Sale.
I honestly don't have any. It's been so long since Sale pitched a significant game. The only thing I remember about Chris Sale is he was irrationally angry about Drake LaRoche getting kicked out of the White Sox dugout, their 12-year-old leader from back in the day, and he chopped up a bunch of ugly White Sox uniforms with a pair of scissors. That's all. He looks like some sort of walking Halloween costume. Just this,
he's like Ichabod Crane.
Yeah, he looks like he may or may not be on meth. I have no idea. All right,
he's one of those annoying people that I guess supposedly eats like 1,400 omelets a day and still can't.
Oh, God, okay, now I really hate him. All right, here's the good news for the Astros. One is that Framber Valdez is starting Game One. He's your Game One starter. So while Lance has been the ace, peak Fromber can dial up ace stuff, and nobody knows that better than the Boston Red Sox. You could argue that Framber Valdez had his two best starts of the year, certainly two of his best starts of the year, against the Boston Red Sox, and they were both right after he came back from his finger injury earlier in the season. They were both in early June. The Red Sox and the Astros got all their games against each other out of the way in like a 10-day period back in early June. So these two teams have not seen each other in a long, long time. Fromber's two starts against the Red Sox are almost identical. 7 innings and 7 1/3 innings. Both outings he gave up 5 hits. Both outings he gave up 1 earned run. One outing he struck out 10, walked 2. The other he struck out 8, walked nobody. So as far as the Red Sox know, they're basically facing Cy Young today, far as they know. And Fromber's been good, but he hasn't been that good all year. But he's been really, I feel very confident in Framber Valdez tonight.
Yeah, and especially well-rested with the adrenaline, all of that stuff. I think Framber, I used to perhaps maybe would have worried about the emotional side of the game for this, but I feel like he's been reined in and trained by the Swami Master, both as psychologist and also by Dusty Baker.
And so his personal therapist 10 feet away from him, Carlos Correa.
Yes.
Remember
Carlos? I was dead wrong, at least, on my memories. I must be just remembering the highlights. So most of the Astros' lineup has actually struggled versus Chris Sale in their careers. The only player who has more than 3 career hits against Sale is Jose Altuve. He's the only guy to have a career batting average above .250 against Sale.
Okay, well, this is to your point earlier, a lot of those stats were probably compiled against a pre-Tommy John version of Chris Sale. You know what I mean?
Yes, exactly. Right.
It's, I don't know.
No, Chris Sale, I think the Red Sox would look at this as an incredibly huge victory if Sale can go 4 innings.
No doubt. And again, the injury to Lance already placed a premium on these first two games, but you're absolutely right. Like, the fact that the Red Sox are probably going into this one kind of just hoping for the best in game one. You've got to win game one. I think you got to win both these games at Fenway because you're really counting on Framber Valdez and the home version of Luis Garcia. Much better at home, ERA in the mid-2s at home. You're counting on those two guys to win games for you. The other bit of good news, as you touched on, Seth, is that the first pitch is going to be thrown out. by Josh Reddick. Now, this is a popular former Astro that is being asked to throw out the first pitch.
He is. I'm hoping that he goes out there shirtless and covered in confetti, maybe wearing goggles, and
in the,
just get it off
in his
started.
Skivvies, his red, white, and blue.
Yeah.
America's skivvies.
Remember, people thought that a piece of confetti was an adhesive buzzer.
That's right. I forgot about
that. Yeah, after the 2019 ALCS.
That's right. That's
so
right.
In commemoration of the ALCS, I would like Reddick to have a piece of confetti strapped to his chest somehow.
Yeah. Amy texted me this morning. I guess Booker T is the one yelling play ball tonight at the
We're going WWE heavy.
Hell
this,
yeah,
huh?
Man. That's okay. What you do. That's what
embrace,
you do.
Embrace. Well, again, Carlos Correa has embraced being the a heel.
Yes.
You know, he's embraced being the evil villain.
Yes.
Despised by so many around the league. But those same people also desperately want him on his baseball team.
Like Ric Flair. Yes.
Yeah.
That's exactly right. The dirtiest player in the game.
Curious. You know, there's isn't Ric Flair in a little bit of a Me Too thing right now? Allegations?
No, I don't think so. There were some.
Oh, okay.
I probably should look that up before I say yes or no. And then, not that I'm aware of, but
okay, I'll send you a link.
Okay. Yeah. Yes. Yeah. Okay. So yeah, make sure it's work friendly if you could. That would be great.
I got you.
Okay. All right. Now it's a football Friday. We're going to circle back to the Astros at the bottom of the hour. And we'll get a Boston perspective at the bottom of the hour from the Barstool guys, the podcast they did on this series. I think it's really interesting to hear what other cities think of this Astros team, as annoying and tedious as they probably are to play, not only, and you throw in the hatred of the sign stealing on top of that. We'll do that at the bottom of the hour. The Texans do travel to Indy this week. They are double-digit underdogs this weekend, the Texans are. And if you look ahead, they may have to get used to this. We'll tell you about that next.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can waste another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can conquer it. I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. Any road. The steeper, the better. Because my all-new Santa Fe is available with H-Track all-wheel drive, so I can hit the trail without a worry in the world. Heck, with three rows and best-in-class rear cargo space, I can pack the whole family in with all our gear. We've got available dual wireless charging for our phones, so we'll never lose touch with civilization, and we won't lose touch with the primordial power of Mother Earth. So which is it? Waste the weekend or do something a little more epic? And conquer it in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
With LinkedIn Jobs, we tap into a network of more than a billion professionals to help you find quality professionals quickly and easily for any role you need. Marketing wizards? Found them.
Software engineers?
Found.
That project manager I could never seem to hire?
And found. LinkedIn Jobs quickly matches your roles with candidates with the right skills and experience. In fact, 86% of small businesses get a qualified candidate within 24 hours. Post your first job for free and get started at linkedin.com/decide. That's linkedin.com/decide. Terms and conditions apply.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
It's a Football Friday on Sports Radio 610. Here's Payne and Pendergast.
All right, Payne and Pendergast with you on a Football Friday. Bottom of the hour, we will get the first of what will be a couple times we get a Boston perspective on this series between the Red Sox and the Astros. This should be a fun next couple weeks. What's that?
Who's the other Bostonian?
Well,
we've got Andy Gresh at the bottom.
We've got Andy Gresh at 7:30, and then we've got excerpts from the Section 10 Boston Barstool podcast at the bottom of the hour. Yeah, so that's the Barstool guys do a nice, entertaining job of breaking things down. And I think it's interesting, Seth, given the style of play that this Astros team has, to hear what opposing fans, opposing media, how they feel about this team. Because as I've said, and you've said, and I'm not discovering plutonium here by saying this, they have got to be just a son of a bitch to play against the Astros because of the way that they hit, the patience that they show at the plate, all of those things. And they don't make any mistakes in the field either. Like, they don't hurt
I'm going to tell you a very complimentary quote that an unnamed Chicago White Sox either player or staff member, something he said very nice about the Astros that I'm dreading how it's going to get misinterpreted, diced up, and sloshed around. But Ken Rosenthal said that an anonymous source said that the Astros excel at the legal form of sign stealing, using their eyes and hand signals rather than electronics. Quote, We all knew we had to be on top of everything or they'd be stealing every move the catcher made, every sign from the dugout, every sign the catcher put down, every time someone put a grip in a glove. If they see something, they know how to relay it. They're good at it. They're really good at it. And more power to them. That's what we should all be doing. Unquote.
Yeah. Yep.
But this is what's going to drive me insane, is that even the damn commentators, like the ex-pros and everything in the playoffs, when they start talking about this stuff, they act like the electronic sign stealing and the legal stuff is all the same, and it all gets diced up and thrown in together.
The Astros strike me as a team that is on the far end of the grid on baseball intelligence. Like, they strike me as an extremely intelligent baseball. There's not a single guy that you hear talk where you go, this guy just is not, this guy is a baseball junkie. You know, this guy talks the game on a level that is just like you learn things from listening to a lot of these Astro guys. That doesn't surprise me at all that they're really good at that aspect of the game.
Yeah, you almost wonder if that's part of the analysis with them.
Yep, the evaluation.
The psychometrics.
No doubt.
Yeah, because they do. They always, even going back to when they still had the reputation as just being all about the numbers and not about the humans. Lo and behold, they had a bunch of really likable humans on the squad.
Yes.
Where it just feels like it all goes into the calculations.
So then you've got the Texans, who travel to Indianapolis this weekend to face the Colts. I believe, last I checked, still holding firm as a 10-point underdog to a 1-4 football team. A 1-4 football team that had the Baltimore Ravens on the ropes on Monday. I mean, the Colts now come in on a short week, but on the heels of what should have probably been a win that turned their season around, and instead it was one of probably the more embarrassing choke jobs of the year when you consider the lead they coughed up in that game, the fact that they missed multiple makeable field goals to close out the Ravens in that game, and then Lamar Jackson just goes banana. Lamar Jackson, who's not thought of as a pure thrower, throws for 440 yards in that game. Are you surprised the Colts are this big a favorite? And do you think that it's possible that that's a Monday game that could beat the Colts twice, if you know what I mean? Like, that there's a hangover.
Partly that, I guess. And then if you're talking on the gambling side, is the perception a little rosier on the Colts? And I think for any Texans fans that maybe hadn't checked in on the Colts yet this season, you watch that Monday night game and you think, oh wow, they're actually a really good Bob. They look as good as they ever have. And I think there's some truth to both. It's a 1-4 football team, but it's also a football team that, with a relatively healthy Carson Wentz now, and with an offensive line that performed better than it has been performing, looked a lot more like what you expect out of the Indianapolis Colts in any given year when they have a name brand quarterback, at least. I think they're actually somewhere in between. One of the things that's confusing people perhaps a little bit is that we're just not accustomed to thinking of the Baltimore Ravens as a bad defense or as a not formidable defense. And the fact of the matter is they're not that good this year at all. They're in terms of yards per play, which I know is a stat you like, Sean.
Yeah.
They're 29th in the league in yards per play.
Wow.
So for the Colts to get it going versus the Ravens, this season is kind of like the Colts if they got it going versus the Houston Texans. So I don't know. I'm not buying that they should be 10-point favorites. And I'm not buying that the Colts defense isn't any good either. And Davis Mills and that offense just turned in a really nice performance versus a genuinely good defense in the New England Patriots. So was it a letdown by the Patriots? Were there some lucky plays by the Texans? Sure. But I think as it has been all season long, it's a little too easy for people to just assume the Texans are the worst team in the league.
Yeah.
When in reality, Sean, they're like 25th or 26th worst team in the league. But there's a difference there. There's a difference there when it comes to, hey, expecting an easy blowout.
Well, there is a difference when the spread's 10 points. You know what I mean?
Yeah,
like, I don't
yeah.
expect the Texans to go into Indy and win the game, but I sure as hell expect them to be competitive in the game. They're not going to Buffalo and facing the Bills in weather. You know what I mean? They're going to Indy facing a disappointing Indy team in a dome. You know what I'm saying? Like, it's
You know, that weather skews people's perception in such a way that I think it might be one of the places that people still really don't give enough credit, even though it's one of the oldest things in the world, because you can't see on television just how bad the weather is.
Yeah.
And I've kind of revised my opinion of the whole Texans performance in general in that Buffalo game, because I watched that same weather system that same day moved through New England, and it affected Tom Brady to an extreme degree.
Right.
You know, Tom Brady goes out and throws however many touchdowns, 5 or 6 touchdowns the next weekend versus Miami, but he didn't look all that hot at all. None of the quarterbacks that played in that weather system that day played all that good. So it's not like I'm going to throw it out of the window for Davis Mills, but Davis Mills was not nearly as bad as that game would suggest.
The next time the Texans are not a double-digit underdog will probably be the first week in November in Miami, I would guess. I mean, unless Miami turns things around here imminently, they're 1-4 also. But the Texans, it would be nice if they won this game this weekend. If you're in the camp that's rooting for the Texans to win games, which I think both Seth and I are, because Arizona next week in Arizona, that's going to be a 2-touchdown spread. They host the Rams the following week. That'll be a double-digit spread, even though it's at NRG Stadium, because the Rams are one of the 3 best teams in football. Probably Miami, I guess, and then there's a bye week after. They'll be favored in the bye week. They're going to win the bye week, the Texans.
There's 2 fan bases that have kind of depressing rallying cries this week, Sean. Mm-hmm. One is the Boston Red Sox. The Boston Red Sox, who will have banners basically saying, lesser of 2 evils. We didn't cheat as much.
Yeah, yeah.
Lesser of 2 evils.
Yes.
Lesser of 2 evils. And the Texans, we can proudly proclaim, not one of the worst 3 teams in the league, most likely.
Hell yeah. Hell yeah. Battle cry, baby. That's right.
29th at worst.
Yes.
Yeah.
27th in the average power rankings. Yes. all right. Speaking of which, you know, I'm glad you brought that up with the Red Sox. These are 2 teams that I would say, to varying degrees, the rest of baseball hates because of what they represented a few years ago in terms of the crackdown on cheating. The guys on the Barstool Section 10 podcast, that's the Red Sox podcast, they touched on that. What is the dynamic of this series given the history of these 2 teams? And I would say the most interesting thing is hearing from a Boston perspective, who terrifies the Red Sox fan base the most with this Astros team. I think it'll be interesting for you to listen to this. That's next.
Selling a little or a lot? Shopify helps you do your thing, however you cha-ching. Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage, to the first real-life store stage, all the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage. Shopify is here to help you grow. Whether you're selling scented soap or offering outdoor outfits, Shopify helps you sell everywhere. From their all-in-one e-commerce platform to their in-person POS system, wherever and whatever you're selling, Shopify is got you covered. Shopify helps you turn browsers into buyers with the internet's best converting checkout. 15% better on average compared to other leading commerce platforms. And sell more with less effort thanks to Shopify Magic, your AI-powered all-star. Shopify powers 10% of all e-commerce in the U.S. And Shopify is the global force behind Allbirds, Rothy's, and Brooklinen, and millions of other entrepreneurs of every size across 175 countries. Plus, Shopify's award-winning 24/7 help is there to support your success every step of the way. Because businesses that grow, grow with Shopify. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odyssey podcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odyssey podcast now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. shopify.com/odyssey podcast.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
After the end of a good fight, you deserve an ice-cold reward. Medela, the mark of a fighter. You've earned this rich golden lager with a crisp, refreshing taste. Because you know, the bigger the fight, the better the reward. You put in the hours, the energy, the tough labor. You are a fighter, and Medela is your reward. Medela, the mark of a fighter. Drink responsibly. Beer imported by Crown Imports, Chicago, Illinois.
From the Twin Peaks studio, it's a Football Friday on Sports Radio 610. Here's Payne and Pendergast.
Getting you ready for both ALCS Game 1 tonight at Minute Maid Park, Red Sox and Astros. Getting you ready for Colts and Texans Sunday noon kickoff here on Sports Radio 610. Texans countdown starts at 9 a.m. Seth and I got you for that. All right, so the Barstool guys. Barstool, you know, Barstool that was conceived in Boston, so you can imagine that there's some heavy Boston opinions on this series with the Barstool guys. The Section 10 podcast is their Red Sox podcast. And I always think, Seth, it's interesting to get the perspective of the opponent, and especially opponent, people who cover the opponent, and especially guys like Barstool who are sort of the hybrid, hybrid baseball experts slash fans of the team, because there's a lot of emotion. You know, there's not a ton of analysis that goes on. There's a lot of emotional analysis that goes on. And so we've got a few takes from these guys here on the Astros, and I guess the one right off of the top, it's interesting to hear the guys that scare the Boston fans the most, especially within this pitching staff. We're going to hear from them, but I think once you hear who it is and you look at performance this year, it's going to make a lot of sense. Here are the guys from the Barstool podcast.
Framber Valdez, a 3.14 ERA, pretty good. 1.25 WHIP. His expected numbers are pretty good. His second and third starts of the season came against the Red Sox, and he dominated. 7 innings, 5 hits, 1 earned run, 10 strikeouts. That was his season high in strikeouts. And then on June 8th, they were almost identical starts. June 2nd, 7 innings, 5 hits, 1 earned run, 10 strikeouts. June 8th, 7 and a third, 5 hits, 1 earned run, 8 strikeouts. So that was his second most strikeouts in a game. So he basically had his best outings against the Red Sox. The Astros are 5-1 in games that he started in the playoffs.
I'd rather have McCullers out there than Framber, and I know McCullers was really good, but yeah. Jesus Christ. I hope the Red Sox maybe look really f-ing stupid, but Jesus Christ, that guy's terrifying.
All right, so Framber, they said it right there, Seth.
Framber's terrifying. Well, no, you know what? Framber is terrifying just in that, like, put yourself in the position of a batter going versus Framber, and where the hell is that stuff going? You know, it's a little bit like it was with Charlie Morton, except Charlie Morton genuinely didn't know where the ball was going. Charlie Morton's whole strategy was to just throw dead center. It was, Sean.
I know.
I mean, it was
just
crazy.
Laughing thinking about it.
It was like a fast knuckleball.
And,
or something.
I love there's still an outside chance we're going to see Charlie Morton in the World Series. I love
so
this.
So his strategy was to throw dead center in the strike zone, and like wherever it goes, who knows? Like it must have been fun to be a catcher too. But with Framber, it's different. It's where the hell is that thing going? And when he's on with it. I guess for the second guy, the funnier guy there, the guy that makes that podcast go. I'm going to call it now. After listening to that podcast for 10 seconds, the nerdy stat guy is not the guy that makes that go. The second guy, that's the money guy right there.
Yeah,
Sean.
Yeah. Yep.
So I can understand why, just because of their personal experience and most recently, especially, they'd be more nervous about Framber. But Lance has that same quality of just how the hell is that baseball? How are the laws of physics allowing that baseball to move like it does?
Yeah, well, and it's the perfect marriage too, right? With Framber and this infield, you know, the Framber is such a ground ball pitcher, and he's got those four guys playing behind him. It's the perfect marriage.
It's crazy what a ground ball pitcher Framber is when you look at him versus he's first place in percentage ground balls by by 10% before anybody else in the league.
Here are the guys from the Barstool Section 10 podcast. They mentioned McCullers there towards the very end with Framber. And again, we should mention here, the news with Lance right now is that John Heyman of the MLB Network, that's the one who I saw at least, reporting that Lance is likely to miss the ALCS with whatever's going on with his arm. The official stance with the team is they're still evaluating it. They're seeking second opinions. 10 o'clock today, they're going to have to decide something because that's when the roster needs to be submitted for this series. It's 10 o'clock this morning. We'll be all over it this morning when the roster comes out. I know Landry, I think, is leading into the show. Wade Smith is in with him today. They're going to lead into the show with that, I would guess, today once that roster comes out and break it down, because this is one of the more important decisions of roster construct in recent playoff history for the Astros. Here are the Barstool guys kind of taking an overall look at the series if McCullers were to have played in this series.
Like, Tampa might have had the 100-win season and all that, but the Astros are just, they're better. They are. It's weird that the Red Sox chances of winning the series are better against Houston than they were against Tampa, because again, the Astros are the better team. I think that the longer this series goes, the more it favors the Red Sox. In a best of seven, where you would more than likely have to see McCullers twice, to go from twice to zero times, for as much as it rubs us the wrong way that he's a cocky little and he's like, yeah, no one's pitching as well as me, he's not wrong. I mean, he was pitching really well. He's evolved. 24 straight curveballs he threw in the playoffs in 2017, something like that. He's developed new pitches. Yeah, McCullers is legit. He's been there and he's done that in the postseason. So if he's not on the roster, I feel pretty good. It's going to be high scoring games.
The Lance impersonation is the best part of that cut. Nobody's pitching better than me.
I like and hate these guys.
I do too.
These are the guys that would be fun to sit next to in a game. Like, and just have playful arguments back and forth the whole time.
Well, there
instead of, you know, instead of 90% of Red Sox
right.
fans that would rather break a beer bottle open and cut your throat with
no,
it.
No, they're diehard Red Sox fans, but they're reasonable in their takes. You know what I mean? Like, that was, you know, amidst the possibly deserved shots at Lance's bravado, that was actually very solid analysis
That's what we talked about yesterday. This team, this Astros team, is full of guys that you absolutely love when they're on your team.
Yeah.
But you hate them when they're on another team, like a Pat Beverly dynamic.
Right.
So
right.
I think that the first thing they said, which goes above and beyond the regular season stats, is simple playoff experience. And I think that's what the Astros have above and beyond any other team, because they've been to the ALCS five times in a row now. They have so much experience in big-time moments that if you had to pick any team in the league, say last year, that was going to underperform in the regular season and then somehow make it to the ALCS or the NLCS, it would have been the Astros. They get to the playoffs and everything gets amped up, where other guys just start to buckle and wilt and go all early version Clayton Kershaw on you. You're not going to get that with the Astros.
Yeah, I think, and especially in the lineup, Seth, with this lineup, this is the deepest lineup. I'm not talking about the pitchers. I'm talking about the hitters right now. This is the deepest lineup they've ever had. I don't know if it's the most powerful just in terms of sheer home run power. Like, Bregman's not what he was a couple years ago. They don't have Springer anymore, who was, you know, over the aggregate of a season, a 35 to 40 home run guy. I don't think they bludgeon you like that, but they do have a lineup now where if there's a couple pieces that aren't working, you can still go score 10 runs in a clinching game. You know what I mean? Like, it's so deep.
You know what I wonder, though, too? When these guys recorded this, it was probably before they found out that Eovaldi wasn't starting game one.
Maybe.
So Chris Sale's starting game one. So these guys mentioned that, hey, if McCullers isn't in there and then they have to have a bullpen game a couple times instead of McCullers games, then that's really going to hurt the Astros. For one, I don't think they would have to do two bullpen games, right? But game four would probably have to be a bullpen game.
Yeah.
But the Red Sox are in that same boat now, because Sal's going to start game one with the notion that, all right, their relievers are healthy and rested, and if Sal, who has been awful, whatever you know of Chris Sale, forget it. He's been mechanically awful coming off of his Tommy John surgery. So they're going to try to put him in there and hope that he can go four or five innings, but fully aware that he might have to be pulled out after one, and then it becomes a bullpen game in game one. The downside of it for the Astros and the way it all matches up for them is this damn 2-3-2 format that if they could go two, have an off day, then go another two, and then have travel day game, all of a sudden the timing of the bullpen game and Lance McCullers' injury doesn't matter nearly as much.
Yeah. It's You're right. It's been this way forever, so I don't feel like they just changed the format this year, and now they're screwed.
This is my angry old man moment, Sean. I will complain about this. How long has it been? Like 15 years? Oh, I don't care.
It's been a while, yeah.
I will complain forever about this.
All right. This one was interesting. Again, we're listening to some of the excerpts from Barstool's Section 10 podcast where they're breaking down the Astros and the Red Sox. I liked hearing this. What do outsiders think of the atmosphere at Minute Maid Park during the postseason?
Once they get a couple early runs in Houston in a postseason environment, it's about as intimidating as it gets.
It's the loudest ballpark that the postseason has to offer.
And it's just like they feel the fans are on top of you and they get the train going and all the noise going. They make that place loud, too. Obviously, it being a dome helps as well.
A lot of the guys that were here in 2018 have said that Fenway is louder for this playoff run than it was in 2018. And
I don't think it's even close.
Okay, so that's a separate thing at the end. That little blurb at the end was about Fenway and the atmosphere, but most of that cut was about Minute Maid Park and the Astros. And I think they're right. Like, the Astros are a different team when they get cranking early a little bit. And we saw that during the regular season. If you got to about the fourth or fifth inning with the Astros and they hadn't gotten it going yet, there were a lot of times this year that they just never got it going. There were a lot of games, a lot of 1-0 run games for a team so good offensively. They had a lot of stinkers this year.
Yeah, which was There's so much that didn't feel the same about the Astros this year offensively, even when they were really good. For one, they're not mashing home runs, you know, at a record level or pace like they had been in previous versions of this offense. I don't know the environment. What did you think of the environment in the ALDS at Minute Maid? It didn't feel as electric to me as it has in the past.
Yeah, I don't know. I mean, I admittedly didn't go to either of the games that were played at Minute Maid, so I can't say from firsthand experience being in there. But like, yeah, it didn't come through the TV as feeling drastically different one way or the other to me.
They weren't dramatic games, you know.
That's true.
I mean, it's not like it was the kind of game that demanded the fans standing the whole time or anything.
Yeah, I guess my overall response to that take, Seth, is one, that feels pretty cool that people from Boston think that Minute Maid Park is that intimidating. You know, they're right on top of you. They score early. It gets so loud. It's a dome.
Yeah.
Because I'm just conditioned to being a Houstonian where we show up late. You know, we're not necessarily thought of as any of our places are thought of as an intimidating place to play. I thought that was kind of cool to hear. I said, you know, okay.
Well, 2017 was pretty special from that respect. When it got to the Yankees series, it was at a fever pitch.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it started with the Red Sox, and then by the time it got to the Yankees, all those games, both in New York and Houston, you heard multiple baseball people commenting about how, like, wow, you don't usually think of noise as being as much of a factor in baseball, but it certainly seems to be a factor here because it was just that above and beyond the normal level of loudness and energy.
Last one from the Barstool Guys Section 10 podcast. And this is something you and I have talked about since the Red Sox made it to their side of the ALCS. Hey, maybe for once the Astros won't come into a series where they're getting booed by the opposing crowd because misery loves company. These are probably the two faces of electronic sign stealing in 2017 and 2018, the Astros and the Red Sox. So pretty much everybody outside of the series hates both of these teams. Here are the Barstool guys on cheating and trolling at Fenway Park.
I'm not going to tell fans how to fan. I'm not going to tell you what to do, what to say, but it would not, like, let's not do the trash can thing against the Astros. Like, let's not. Like, let's all have some perspective here. Like, if you want to boo the Astros, boo the Astros. But if you want to do, like, the whole, like, Astros cheated thing, like, just no.
Doesn't because it seem like both teams have an agreement here that doesn't really make any sense to do it?
It doesn't make sense. And B, they've been hearing it for 2 years now. And it's not going to get in their kitchen. Like when Garrett Cole was on the mound and you were chanting Garrett and you had the Kermit the Frog by the bullpen when he was warming up, that clearly got in his head and messed with his psyche. I believe that. However, the Houston Astros, if you've been paying attention, in terms of playing up like the whole like trash can you cheated thing, not only do they not care, but I think that makes them want to beat you even more when they're already really good and they don't need the extra motivation.
I like these guys are smart, Seth.
Damn it. That kid figured it out. Okay, yep. I like number one as well. I thought number two was the engine that drove everything, but number one knows what
they're
he's talking about.
They're a two-headed engine, yes.
This is what I was worried about, was that people were going to catch on around the league that, oh, wait a second. Every time I'm watching an FL2V chant, it's followed by a home run.
Yes,
often a walk off,
112 mile an hour exit velo.
it's hit the highlights in the interwebs a little too quickly, yes. So now people know that. The other thing too is, I mean, it's not just that the Red Sox had their own little mini scandal in 2018. It's that Alex Cora is their manager. You know, I mean, Alex Cora was, whether it was fair or not, was painted out to be one of the architects and one of the real demons in that scandal. And I think for the most part, most Red Sox fans know that, all but the most casual Red Sox fans know that. So I don't think that's going to be much of a factor. It'll be a nice break.
Yeah.
It'll be a nice relief, especially since they will they'll hear a good chunk of it versus the Dodgers, Sean.
Yeah,
that's right. I'm looking past the Red Sox.
Yeah, I was about
that's
to
what I'm doing.
Well,
right,
and you're looking past the Braves too. It's a little disrespectful to Atlanta. Yeah, for those who don't know, the Dodgers. We should mention that. We haven't mentioned that. If you weren't up late, the Dodgers beat the Giants last night in Game 5 of that side of the NLDS.
And I'm predicting, expecting, and hopefully, I can't wait to face the Dodgers. I know a lot of people out there say, oh, no, you should want to play the lesser team.
That's me.
Yeah, sure.
Me
maybe,
and Landry.
Maybe in a normal circumstance, I want to beat the Dodgers and shut their stinking yaps up once and for all.
You and Lopez are... You and Lopez want the solution that minimizes the percentage chance of the Astros winning a World Series. Landry and I want the solution that maximizes the odds of us having a parade in town here.
I am motivated almost 100% at this point, Sean, by keeping alive the prospect of a Cody Bellinger 0-for World Series.
Oh, okay.
I have him go 0-for-15
Dude,
in the World Series.
He had an important RBI last night. That was depressing.
Good for him. Did he dislocate his shoulder celebrating or not?
I don't know. I didn't watch. I'll be honest.
He didn't do that once again?
I passed out in my chair for a large chunk of that game last night. I woke up in the ninth inning. I'm like, okay, I guess I'll watch this. And Justin Turner almost blew it. God, that would have been the best if they had lost. Justin Turner committed a horrible error in the ninth inning. And then is it okay to have the final strike of a playoff series be a very questionable check swing? Is that cool or not? Like, because that's what happened last night to the Giants. Not that I have any love in my heart for the San Francisco Giants, but I have a lot of hate in my heart for the Dodgers. The last strike was a very questionable check swing call.
Yeah, he didn't. I don't know.
Does that violate a man law of some sort?
Whichever. I think that if it's going to be on a check swing, it's got to be on one that's not that debatable.
Yes!
You know, one of the weirdest flukes in all of sport is that there's no actual definition for what constitutes a swing in the Major League Baseball rulebook. And it really is... Like, almost by definition, it can't be a bad call by the umpire because there's no defined parameter for what a swing is. And I know there's people at home or in their cars right now saying, like, no, it's when the barrel goes past the plate or it's when the wrists break. No, it's not. There's no actual definition.
Right.
It's completely up to the umpire and whoever he checks with. So they're like, oh, yeah, is it your – no. It's two guys in a bar at that point.
It's totally based on the mood of the umpire that day. It's based on what he ate for lunch. Like, oh, God, I'm not –
I'm like, I want to get the hell out of here.
Enchiladas are not agreeing with me right now. Fine, strike. Jeez, God. Just stop checking with me. Oh, my God. Someone said on the text page, those guys are the Payne and Pendergast Boston version. I take that as a very high compliment. Those guys are a very entertaining podcast. That was good stuff from them. Could Greinke bump back up in McCullers' absence? I barely trust him, but it's the playoffs. The problem there is bump back up for McCullers for a couple of innings to open a game, maybe.
Right. Yeah. Yeah. You know, he's not stretched out. Like, at this point, coming off of injury and knowing what his role is, he's not going to be a quote-unquote starting pitcher. He might start a game, but they don't anticipate him. Even if it's going really well for him, there's no way he'd make it past two full rotations in the order.
No chance.
Probably only see everybody once.
Yep, at the most. Yeah. At the most. All right, Payne and Pendergast with you on a football Friday. As you can tell, it's football Friday with a lot of baseball mixed in. Andy Gresh going to join us at the bottom of the 7 o'clock hour. He's midday host on our sister station, WEEI, so we'll get the perspective up there on this series from one of the media members that covers that team. Also, we need the perspective on this series. You want it, you're about to get it. Clint Sterner's mom, Linda Sterner, went weapons hot on the Red Sox yesterday. What is Linda Sterner's analysis of this series? How much ass gonna get whooped? We'll hear from Mama Sterner next.
You could spend the weekend doing the same old whatever, or you could conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.